Hey, this is Todd Kearns from the Sin City Sinners, and you're listening to Turned On with Tina on Good Time Metal Oldies.
Y'all ready for this?
She was beautiful. She was young. She was innocent. She was the greatest piece of ass I've ever had, and I've had them all over the world.
You're hot. Very hot.
Well, I've got news for you. You're mine now. You belong to me.
It's time for the coolest segment on the internet. Turned On with Tina Peak from Crusher Magazine.
Y'all ready for this?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's show. Tonight, I'll be speaking with Chris Crippen, the drummer for the popular and hugely successful Canadian band called Headley. Headley is a force to be reckoned with in Canadian pop rock music. In 3 short years, the band has earned 2 multi-platinum albums with 7 number-one hit singles. They swept the 2009 Radio Music Awards, winning Song of the Year, Chart Topper, and Fan Choice Awards. Last year, Headley was lauded with multiple Juno nominations, and they won in all major categories at the Much Music Video Awards, which is Canada's equivalent to the MTV Video Music Awards. The first single from Never Too Late, a rumination on growing up called Old School, which is quickly becoming this year's American prom and graduation anthem, was released and reached number one without even so much as a music video to promote it. How many bands have you heard of that have been able to achieve that? There are over 2 million plays of Headley's music on MySpace, a number that is growing exponentially as the American marketplace ignites. Now with Headley's debut US release titled Never Too Late, Canada is sharing a best-kept secret with music fans right across the US and also around the world. To check out Headley and listen to their music, you can find them at their official Canadian website at www.headleyonline.com. Or you can find them on their MySpace site at www.myspace.com/Headley. Chris was a real doll to chat with, and the poor guy was plagued with the worst case of hay fever I'd ever heard during our interview. And he wanted me to let everybody know that his congestion and his sniffling was because of his allergies and not some drug abuse problem. It's not. Even though our reception wasn't always the best and was at times very challenging, Chris was a really great sport and hung in there. So if you notice some interference, just visualize being in the mountains in the middle of nowhere, somewhere in Canada, with a bag of golf clubs in one hand and a cell phone in the other, suffering from a really terrible case of hay fever. And that should give you some idea of the difficulties we encountered throughout our interview. Don't forget to stay tuned after our chat for the band's first US single titled Old School. So without further ado, here is my interview with the sweet, the talented, and the very good-natured allergy sufferer, Chris Crippen of Headley. So, hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I just played a round of golf, so I can't really ask for much more. The weather here has been incredible, so.
It's been really good here today, too. So,
I heard the whole country is getting good weather. Yeah.
Thank God, finally. I understand Headley are ready to take on America by storm.
Yeah, I think we've definitely pointed this record at, I mean, we'd always make a record that is hopefully better than the last one, but we've really tried our best to step up every level of it, and we've brought in some great producers and gone to some great rooms already to record, and the songwriting is a step up, and we've just had a great response so far. So yeah, we're really looking forward to releasing this one.
Yeah, great. Well, let's talk about Never Too Late. This is a US exclusive album that was released just last month, which includes nothing less than 7 number-one singles from the band's 2 previous Canadian releases. Your first album, self-titled in 2005, and then 2007's Famous Last Words. That's one incredible album.
Yeah, I think that we're hoping that if one of the songs takes off, then people will maybe want to check out the record and then realize that it's you know, an album with lots of depth and lots of cool different kinds of songs, and hopefully they pick up the record, because I think it's, you know, 11 or 12 really great songs, so we're really proud of it.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering why you guys decided to do it that way as opposed to, say, writing another album with new songs on it.
Well, that's actually what we're in the process of doing now. We're recording right now, as we speak. What would be our third Canadian release, and it'll be our second U.S. release, which I don't think there's a release date quite yet for it. We were kind of a year behind, or actually maybe more like three years behind in the States, because the first record didn't, nobody wanted to catch on to it really.
Mm-hmm.
So we just continued along, kept working, and made a great break in Canada, and then just, tried the same thing again with the next one, except we said, well, why don't we just, kind of hedge the bet and combine the two records. I mean, if nobody in the U.S. has heard the first one, we might as well just take all the strongest stuff from the first and the strongest from the second and put it out that way.
Right, makes sense. Never Too Late is filled with great lyrical content and some really kick-ass tunes. And you mentioned earlier about the producers on some of the songs, because the production talent alone is pretty amazing and speaks volumes. Can you talk a little bit about who some of the producers were on the album?
Well, for the second record was all Greg Norrie's production, and what was really imperative to making that record great was some of the collaborations we did. Now, Greg was a huge part in the writing as well, but we also had Dave Genn from, he used to be in the Matthew Good Band, and he plays with 5440 now, and he's coming into his own as a producer. In fact, he's going to produce, he is currently producing three songs for the latest record.
Okay.
And, what else do we have? Some collaborations with Brian House, who's just gone through the roof successful with Hinder and, you'll have to look up that name for me.
Hinder and Daughtry.
Yeah, amazing. Like, he's just had a great run, and we've been really happy to get any kind of material from him that we can collaborate with and work it up. They've always been singles, it's just very strong material. He's a very strong writer. And he produced the first record, as well as we had, he did half of the first record, and then the Garth Richardson did the other half, and Garth is famous for Rage Against the Machine's first record, and Trapped, and Mudvayne, and usually heavier stuff, but he did a really great job for us.
How did the band get the coveted opening slot for Bon Jovi's National Arena Tour?
Well, we like to think of it as they got the closing slot for us. I think it's probably a lot of those old friends in the business saying, hey, can you cut us a break, and remember when, and that kind of thing. And we had a pretty strong following at the time, and they have us, and we were happy to do it for minimal pay, and loved getting on stage and getting to watch those guys every night, and it was a great experience. I think it was just a lot about this business is luck and timing, and that's probably what it mostly was, and having good contacts.
Yeah, and I guess playing in front of 200,000 fans didn't hurt.
Well, it was shed, so it was about 15 to, I think the biggest one was 22,000.
Mm-hmm.
But, it certainly didn't hurt. We noticed that when we went out on the next tour that we were headlining, we had a few people in their 30s, which, fundamentally the crowd is young girls between, 13 and 19-ish type of thing. So, and they're, disgruntled boyfriends that they've had to come along because they... we definitely opened a different area, and then that actually helped us break into some different CHR radio type of formats, and we got like Old School onto that, and one of our songs called Old School, and For the Nights was breaking at the time, and that ended up being our first number one. So we were fortunate to have the timing of the radio hitting just as the time that we got the to do those shows, and we've been really fortunate.
Well, let's talk about the first single off Never Too Late, which I'll be playing after our interview, and it's titled Old School, which you were just talking about. What can you tell us about that song?
Well, the song kind of is one of those songs that takes you back. I think that's why it already did a good run at radio, is that it had people thinking about their high school days, and it's just one of those songs that's easy to sing along to. It's got a great groove to it. People gravitate to that kind of thing. People love movies. They like to go back and remember the good old days, and that's what it's all about.
From what I understand, Old School was released and reached number one without even a music video at the time, correct?
Yeah, That's right. That's unusual, especially in this day and age. But,
that's a pretty incredible feat.
Yeah, you know, we really wanted to make a video for it, and we were even thinking of having like a contest where fans would make videos, but it just never panned out. We've moved on to other things, you know, by the time it was already climbing up the charts, so we just didn't bother. And it did really well for us, so what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. So what was the decision behind releasing that particular song as the lead-off single?
Well, you mean in Canada? Oh, yeah. In the U.S., sorry.
In the U.S.
I think for that very reason, not that we thought about this, but I know it's a strong song on the record. It's kind of mid-tempo. Like, you know, it's hard to explain. It gets a bit technical, but sometimes you want to start with a barn burner, a real rocker, like, say, the first song on the record. And, you know, we just thought that maybe they just, people need to hear a song that's more close to their heart and that they can sing along to right away, and hopefully it makes the mark like we hope it does. I mean, you know, if it does what it did in Canada, then we should get pretty lucky. Hopefully we'll actually get to make a video for it for in the States, but I think we got to wait for it to catch on a bit more.
Right. So with 7 number one singles on the album, I wondered if you had a personal favorite, Chris, and if so, which one and why?
Oh boy, I remember hearing Jake's first version of For the Nights I Can't Remember, and it gave me chills. And once we worked it up with the guys, it was when you record the record, you hear every song 15, 20, 30, 40 times in the various stages, and every time it was time to work on that song, we're doing guitars or bass or drums or whatever, vocals, I just couldn't wait to hear it again. They'd go over a part again and again or whatever they'd have to do, and then when the whole record was done, you'd listen back to it again, and it would be the one song on the record that you're just like, oh yeah, oh, it's coming next, oh cool, and as soon as it gets into that chorus, you just, oh man, I love this song. And I think it's a really touching song, and it speaks for itself, really. It's a great tune. So
it is a great tune. It's one of my favorites. You're welcome. So who does most of the writing in the band?
Well, Jacob, obviously. Yeah, he's really coming to his own. I can't wait for you to hear the new stuff too. A lot of the writing is collaborations. A lot of the ideas come right from Jake. Has a verse and a chorus and maybe a bridge or something, and then we'll get it together and I'll hammer out parts and definitely arrange as a band. And Jake handles the lyrics for the most part. The collaborations were all pretty even, I would say, across the board. That's a 50-50 type of role. Jake would actually go and write with people, so then they just split it, kind of the ideas are there and whatnot, and then they just bring it to the band, and then the band puts their turn on it. It's kind of like
a Van Halen story when they were going to record You're No Good, and their producer said, well, why don't you guys stop doing it like Linda Ronstadt did it and do it like Van Halen would do it? And the song ended up being great, and that's kind of how we always do it. We'll get this idea in from Jake, and then we'll headleyize it, as we say.
Right on.
And then it takes on a new shape, and it's always, I like to think it's always a bit better, so, you know.
A Headley swept the 2009 Radio Music Awards, winning Song of the Year, Chart Topper, and Fans' Choice Awards, all for the song For the Nights I Can't Remember. I was curious if winning awards mean anything to the band, if it makes much of a difference, or do you guys care anything at all about awards?
We don't do it to win the awards, but we definitely appreciate the accolades. I mean, who wouldn't, you know?
Right.
We just go to write the best songs we can and write songs that our fans are going to like, and then write songs that might get turned on to, and then listen to the catalog and say, wow, this is a great band, that kind of thing. We don't really write with the intention of winning awards, but you know, we certainly appreciate the accolades that come along with it, and it means you're doing something right, you know?
I guess winning, for looking at it from a band's perspective, I guess winning a Fan Choice Award would probably mean the most, because that is based from the fans' votes and the fans' perspective.
Of all the awards to win, that is, I think, across every band's desire.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know it sounds cheesy and whatnot, but, like, be doing this without them. And we're excited and ecstatic to, you know, even after they've heard all the songs and bought the shirts and come to the shows, they still want to get on the phone and vote for it, you know? I think that's terrific. It means they love us, you know, and we love them back, so.
Yeah, you guys do love them back. I've read somewhere that the band treats their fans more like friends and that you guys like to interact with them. Do you think that's one of the things that sets you apart from some of your peers, is that one-on-one interaction?
Yeah, that's easily one of the things. We do a signing after every show, and we stay until everybody's been signed. And, you know, we have to have security kind of walking people through, and because otherwise it's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 blind for 4 hours. You can't really sit and talk and stuff. But we get ready, you know, every once in a while you get a lot of fans coming. You end up hanging out and chatting with them. Lots of people come to many shows. You know, there's people out there that have been to over 100 shows.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah, we have some amazing fans, and you know what? They're good people. You know, I know that some bands maybe don't even like their fans. I don't know, but a lot of our fans are the kind of people that I would hang out with anyway, so I don't find it a big deal.
That's very cool. In 3 short years, Headley have earned 2 multi-platinum albums in Canada, scored, like we talked about earlier, 7 number one singles, and surpassed other Canadian rock artists, including Nickelback and Avril Lavigne, on Nielsen's 2008 year-end BDS Top 10 Artist Airplay. When you hear those stats, how does it make you feel? Were you surprised?
Well, when you go to Chad Kroeger's house, I don't believe those stats. Let's just say that. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to believe, man. You know, I was just always a drummer in bands, and now that I'm kind of rubbing shoulders with people that have stats like that, it's really hard to believe, and it's a real dream come true. You know, I've always thought of it as a great way to make a little bit of money and stuff, and never really thought of it as so much of a business, but it's just turned into a real dream come true. I never thought of it as a dream, you know. I always thought of, I don't know, I'm kind of doubling back on myself when I say this, but I just wanted to play drums and make a little money at doing that, and it's turned into this whole lifestyle, and, you know.
Yeah.
So I lost track on that one.
How difficult is it for Canadian bands, do you think, to make the transition into the United States?
I'd say it's harder than ever now. Oh. I have the worst hay fever.
Bless you.
Thank you. It's harder than ever because I think that, you know, if you're an American band playing in America, obviously you're closer to your fan base and closer to home, and you're spending American dollars, and your record companies supporting, you know, a homeland band. The record companies, which are dwindling, you know, the business is just in a downward spiral. It's been a tough hit. If you're an American, you know, just from a business perspective, if you're an American company and you're saying, hey, let's sink some money into some offshore band and bring them in here, you know, I think that a lot of business plans would say, yeah, let's not do that, and let's go with some homeland people, and we don't have to pay all this extra money to get them here and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that makes it even harder.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to get anywhere else in the world, so, you know, the plan that we've tried to stick to is, you know, do great at home, and then do your best to try and do so much good business at home that other markets say, hey, you know, if you can do it there, maybe you can do it here. So I wouldn't want to be a band starting where we were 4 years ago today. Let's put it that way.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, it's gotten worse in the last 4 years. I mean, I remember what it was like 10, 12 years ago, and I was able to make a living, you know, not really popular band. So.
Not really what? Sorry, Chris, you broke up.
You didn't have to be in an extremely popular band to make a living, you know, but nowadays it's, you know, we're, you know, all bands, like I said, I wouldn't want to be starting out again now. It's tougher than ever. It's really tough.
Do you find that in order to make it in the business that Canadian bands have to make the crossover into the United States?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to take all my sniffles out, otherwise everybody's going to think I'm some kind of cocaine addict.
I know, I'll make sure I tell people you suffer from hay fever.
yeah, leave that part in, please. I mean, you can make a living in your home country, that's for sure. But I think if you set your goals as high as we have, you have got to leave and give it another shot. I mean, I think it's absolutely imperative just to follow your dream all the way through. You got to share your music with as many people as you can.
Right.
So I think, you know, it's critical.
Right. Can you tell us about any upcoming tour dates or festivals that you guys will be playing?
We are playing Montreal on the 19th, and then we are playing Belleville on the 20th. And we're actually recording a new record now, so we're having to kind of, you know, get away from that for here and there. And we're doing it all in pieces. But other than that, we're, I know actually we've got, I think we've got one in August in Calgary.
Okay.
Or in Alberta somewhere. But we're really doing limited shows, trying to kind of, trying to stay out of the limelight to make sure that this new record really hits nicely.
Right.
I guess we're trying to make people miss us, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure they do. You've got a lot of diehard fans. When do you guys anticipate heading into the U.S. for some gigs?
We are... Oh, what was it? We've got our release. Was on May 19th. We've already done a little radio tour. And what we do is just go into the radio stations and meet people that we'll be working with. And it came out on Fontana Records on the 19th.
Right.
And I think we're just going to service radio for a little while. And once that starts taking off a bit more, I know that we're planning to get into the States and really do a pretty comprehensive tour in there. We're really looking forward to that. We've been through there before, and we had a great time doing it, and we made a lot of friends, and then we had to come home and finish business here, so we're looking forward to doing it again.
Very, very cool. For people listening in from Central America, Europe, and the States who aren't familiar with your music and have never seen your live show, describe both and tell them what they're missing.
Well, the live show, I think, is our strongest point, and... it is very exciting, very high energy, and we always work on it. Even while we're doing tour and we set out what we're going to do, you know, as far as lighting and props and things like that, we still make adjustments as time goes on. So by the time you see the, you know, 35th show of a tour, it's almost a new tour. And the band has always been really good at that, at developing day by day, not saying, okay, this is what we're doing for a month, so that's all we're doing. You know, we go day by day and try to improve and tighten things up and make it more exciting for the fans. You know, they're paying their money, they got to see a good show. And, you know, Jake's voice is just impeccable every night. Dave and Tom play, it's almost perfection. I mean, it's just amazing, you know. And the drums, it's like there's a god playing. No, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. We really take it seriously, you know. We don't, get me wrong, we enjoy our libations and whatnot, but we don't get too crazy where we can't. We, you know, show up and we're unhealthy the next day.
Yes.
So we do our best to get good sleep and stay healthy and put on a great show. And we warm up before the shows. We do singing exercises together. You know, everybody's got their instrument there. We take about a half hour before the show and we're alone and we just do our thing and then get out there and kick some ass.
Okay, so tell us who the band members are.
Well, there's Tom McDonald on bass, Dave Rosin on guitar, Chris Crippen on drums, and Jacob Hogart on vocals. And he also plays piano, and he's playing guitar now as well, too.
Heavily have toured and opened for some incredible acts. Who has been
lucky?
Yeah, who has been your favorite act to open for so far?
Well, seeing Bon Jovi play every night, I mean, every guy in the band had a story to tell about how Bon Jovi had affected their lives. You know, we were young when they got started on their lovely trip. And, I mean, they just played absolute perfection every night. And every once in a while, they played even better. And it was just really inspiring to see. It was amazing. Really, they showed us a lot.
Who would you like to tour with?
Who would we like to tour with? We've done a few shows with Nickelback, and that's a great, great experience. They've been friends for a long time. I mean, we came from the same town, and they've always been good guys. We really like them. We're personally friends as well, and I think that would be great. I mean, you know, you're already on tour with your friends, the guys in the band, and might as well have another band out there to be friends with. They would be great to tour with.
What's the band's favorite thing to do on tour besides performing?
Oh, I can't really say, I'm afraid. besides performing, well, we're all a bit different. I get out and golf for a little while. You know, I bring my clubs on tour and get away from everybody for 4 or 5 hours and go hit a round of golf and then play the show. I mean, that's just a great day. Jake actually does a lot of writing while he's on tour, and he does a lot of sleeping. It's good for the voice. So often you won't see him for the day, stuff like that. And then we often, we'll go kick a soccer ball around, play some catch, you know, anything to keep you loose, kind of like an athlete would do. You know, you see hockey players doing the hacky sack before the game, or, you know, soccer players do that kind of thing. Tom is involved in producing bands and stuff like that, so he's like got a little business going on the side. He's pretty busy doing that kind of stuff. Dave plays lots of guitar, and we all play video games, hang out, you know. You gotta take it easy, that's for sure.
Right. What's the best prank you ever pulled on another band while out on tour?
Best prank? I would say, we'll often get on stage and during one of the band's songs on the last night and slowly steal parts of the drum set so that the drummer's just left with the bare necessities. They usually have a look on their face like, what's going on here? And the whole band just laughs because nobody cares about the drummer, let's be honest. And it's a good way. It's kind of an endearing thing to do. We've done other things, but it usually comes back at you. You know, we've done things with icing sugar and stuff like that. It's, you know, it looks good under the lights, but it ends up getting in all the gear and making a big mess, so that's no good.
All right. Well, do you want to do some fun questions?
Some fun questions, you say?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. What cologne do you wear?
Oh, actually, my lady likes my man musk.
Your man musk. Okay.
It's gonna be my brand, actually. I'm gonna call it Man Musk, and it's gonna just smell like BO, really. My BO, which is apparently very attractive. You know, I don't know. You'll have to talk to her.
Okay, boxers or briefs?
What am I? Boxer briefs. I could probably say that about every guy.
What?
Boxer briefs. You know, the combo.
Okay, the combo. Okay, what's the craziest thing a fan has ever said or done to you?
Craziest thing. I don't know. That one's always tough. You know, we have fans that like bring entire. I remember. I think it was online. I wrote something like, "Boy," or it was a Much Music interview. And they say, "What do you miss the most from being away from home?" Because we're home for 4 months a month every year maybe we're home. And I said, "You know, I miss my mom's cooking." So this woman in Montreal probably brings us 2 weeks worth of Italian food, hand-rolled sausage and, you know, provolone and three dishes of pasta that everybody just eats for a week and a half, 2 weeks. And we've got like 10 or 11 guys on tour, so.
Wow. That's yeah. Pretty awesome.
I think it's great. Yeah, we keep in touch. Let's keep it there for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. What was your favorite cartoon as a child?
Oh, it was a show called Robotech. It was a Japanimation show. I wasn't that into cartoons when I was really young. I was probably, you know, the Warner Brothers, Bugs Bunny and all that stuff. But I really got into this cartoon called Robotech. I remember crying when the last episode was on. It's over.
Okay, pretend you're 15. Name three songs you would put on a mixed CD for your girlfriend.
Well, all I was thinking about at 15 was playing with myself. Like, songs, yeah. What songs was I into? All I listened to was Van Halen, Led Zeppelin, and Rush. So probably something from 1984 and from Led Zeppelin 2 and something from maybe Exit Stage Left. Those three records were pretty big in my life at that time.
Cool. What would the title of your autobiography be?
Oh, God. Geez, that's good. Geez, well, that's a good curveball. I don't know. I guess I could get myself in trouble with that answer.
Could you?
Oh, yeah, well, no, I don't know. The view from behind or something like that. You know, it's a different thing when you're the drummer. You see things that a lot of other people don't. I get to see the show from a pretty cool perspective. And, you know, when a lot of times you can... You can kind of just look at the show and see all these fans looking at you or, you know, at the stage, and it's overwhelming. So, I don't know, some of the bird's eye view or something like that. I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay, great. So, where can people find Headley? Give us all your links if you know them.
Oh, yeah, there's HeadleyOnline.com. I think there's HeadleyRocks.ca. You're going to have to double check for me there.
All right, I will.
We've got a fan forum as well. Pretty much that. We also do Twitter. We're on Facebook. I believe there's a MySpace page. I know there is, actually. We're on, you know, all the usuals.
Okay. I'll give people the links.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. No problem.
I'm the least computer-friendly guy. It's unfortunate, but, you know.
Oh, well, that's okay. Well, you're a drummer. I don't expect anything less.
Yeah, you know, I'm all acoustic, baby.
Okay, is there anything you'd like to add that I didn't ask you today, or any messages for your fans out there?
Well, we are more than excited about the songs that we've got so far for the new record, and we're even more excited to have people hear them and hear some feedback, and even more than that, we're excited to play again. I mean, that's what we do best, and that's what we love doing, and we just can't wait to get out on the road, see everybody again, play some new songs, play some old songs, have a new big show, and then get into the States, you know, do that as well. I can't wait to see all those people we met the first time around and really turn some people on. You know, we're all really, really stoked to get out there and see the rest of the world, and we hope this record can do that for us.
Yeah, I bet. And you don't have a release date as yet, do you, Chris?
Not for the new record. I know that the U.S. we're gonna play that record for a while. We've got a lot of work to do on that one. And as far as the rest of the world, I think they'll be similar to the U.S. release.
Okay. You
know, months here and there, in and around.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Chris. I'm really sorry we had such a terrible connection, but. Best of luck with the album and with the writing for the new one. I know you guys will be kicking some serious ass in the U.S. when you get out there.
Thanks. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, same here. You take care.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Alrighty, bye, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Don't believe everything happiness says. Nothing feels better than hiding these days. We bury our fears in the drinks, in these tears, for the days we believed we could fly. Call up your brothers and sisters and friends. We'll go back to the place where the night never ends. We'll remember the fires, the burning car tires. Boy, how in the hell did we get here? So why don't you meet me down behind our old school? We'll waste away the weekend with perfect regard for how cavalier we used to be. That beautiful insanity, the apathy surrounding me. Don't close your eyes or we'll fade. Man, now we're putting out fires and changing car tires. Man, how in the hell do we get here? So why don't you meet me down behind our old school? We'll waste away the weekend with perfect regard for how cavalier we used to be. That beautiful insanity, the apathy surrounding me. When we drink by the fires, the burning car tires, bad girls and good liars, the dreams we conspire, the days we went crazy, the nights wild and hazy, man, how in the hell did we get here? So why don't you meet me down behind our old school? We'll waste away the weekend with perfect regard for how cavalier we used to be. That beautiful insanity,